بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Last week we discussed the beginning of this booklet and we said that Sheikh who have gathered these letters or messages, he gathered about 5 messages in one booklet. These are simple messages, but talking about the deep and important cases on Islamic monotheism or creed. And Muslims really need to discuss these cases and study them. Since we have already said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started to call for La ilaha illallah only for 10 years, calling for nothing else. Until he was gone for Mi'raj, Isra and Mi'raj, then he Salat started or implemented for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these 10 years he was told to call people for only one thing, to say La ilaha illallah. And we said that the reason for that and the big wisdom of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make a strong generation that carries La ilaha illallah, carries Islam to people, so they will be capable of changing the bad situation of the human beings in that time. And that happened exactly. The people who study the history of Islam, he will find that within 92 years, the face of Earth that time, which contains Asia and Africa and Europe, because there were no Americans in that time, okay, it has been changed. La ilaha illallah was in Adhan on Andalus, which is called Spain now. La ilaha illallah was also sound on east of Afghanistan now. La ilaha illallah was also sound on Turkey and south of Sudan and other areas. That's because of what? Because of those people who were the students of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who studied La ilaha illallah in the beginning for 10 years and faced for it so much troubles. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us on the first message we studied last week, which is the Surah Al-Asr, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that all human beings will be losers, and he swore for that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except those who have these 4 conditions: Iman, which comes within, from knowledge, and practicing this knowledge, then calling for it, then be patient for what they're going to receive, to be received after that, because this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everyone who learn Islam and practice it and call for it, he will face trouble. As what happened to the old messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them have been killed, some of them have been treated bad, some of them have been called names, bad names, but Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been thrown with rocks, he was being called bad names and so on. So Allah told us in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ankabut, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الم ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah that every person, and the meaning of this ayah, that every person who says La ilaha illallah, says Muhammad Rasulullah, he accepts this Islam, he believes in La ilaha illallah, then he is going to face a lot of troubles. And that's natural, that's sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regular thing that the person will face troubles, because this is the way. How can we have Jannah? أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين من خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. يعني the messenger himself is waiting for victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so long he's waiting for it. Why? Because this is the way of the life. If we are not really heading and tired for La ilaha illa, for Islam, we are not going to get Jannah. That's the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us Jannah is not cheap. It needs a lot of blood, a lot of headache, a lot of troubles. But the person who goes strongly on this, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, and he is the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and facing all of the things that he is facing just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah's sake, then he is going to end, inshaAllah, to Jannah in the judgment day. Tonight we need to talk about the second message, which is the 3 matters every Muslim should know. Yes, sir. That's page 3, yeah?
Page 3. Know also that every Muslim should learn 3 matters and apply them. First, Allah has created us.
Again, يعني, Sheikh is telling us that every Muslim should know this. Why is he telling us we have to? Because upon his understanding from Holy Quran and Sunnah, he's telling us that every Muslim should know these things, because these are mandatory things and basic things for a Muslim should know. يعني, it's not a case of that. Some questions could come to us and say, in prayer, do I have to raise my hand up to my ear or up to my shoulders? These are, يعني, if a person does not know it and he doesn't do it, this is still sunnah and his salah inshallah is acceptable. But these cases he's talking about and he's telling us that we must know, these are bases of Islam. Major cases of Islam, we must know. He's talking about monotheism, tawheed, which is most, يعني, as we said, 10 years that Muhammad spoke about nothing but La ilaha illallah, which is the monotheism, tawheed. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
First, Allah has created us and is sustaining us. He did not leave us unattended. Rather, He sent us messengers. Whosoever obeys Allah by following His messengers will be admitted into paradise. And whosoever disobeys Him will be thrown into the hellfire.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. يعني, the case of lordship monotheism or tawheed al-rububiyyah, very limited people, they do not understand it or they reject it. In fact, even the Qurayshi mushrikeen, Qurayshi polytheists, they did not reject this. As Allah told us in the Holy Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. They believe, they agree totally that the one who created the heavens, the sky, the earth and everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have no problem in the case of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah or the sect of Tawheed, which is the lordship side. They have no problem in this. Although we still want to, يعني, we build our Islam and our Tawheed in this case. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, He talks to people, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So he's telling the people, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ means everybody. يعني, he's not talking to Muslims only or Mu'mins only. Sometimes he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, يعني the believers or Mu'mins. But he's talking here to everybody, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. يعني, all people should understand that they must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he's giving a good reason for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you and created the heavens, created the earth for you. So these are good reasons for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the one who created all of these things really deserves to be worshipped. Not the one who has nothing to do with it. Like what happened to the Christians, they worship Isa alayhi salam. When you ask them why, you say he is our savior. How did he save you? He's a messenger and he came and he conveyed the message. The one who saves, the one who gets you away from hellfire is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is capable of everything. So when they really made wrong or big mistake in the case of Rububiyyah side of Tawheed, they made again the other mistake on the Uluhiyyah side of Tawheed, so they fell into shirk in this case also. But unfortunately, although the Mushrikeen of Quraysh and the others did not fall into the big problem of polytheism in lordship side of Tawheed, some people who are saying that they are Muslims, they fell into this. Take an example like Shia or Rafida. These people, they say that Ali ibn Abi Talib knows the ghayb, and his sons also knows the ghayb. Now, knowing the ghayb, from what side of Tawheed? Huh? Rubiyyah side, lordship side. So these people now are falling into shirk even on the Rubiyyah side, and worse than Quraysh's prophet. Also the extremist Sufis. I say extremist because there are some Sufis are not far away from Islam actually, but we don't say generally that even Rafida or Shia, they are three sects as we studied in level 3, maybe level 4 as some brothers. No, the earlier Shia are good Shia. The one who were the party of Ali radiallahu anhu, who helped Ali radiallahu anhu, supported him, they were good Shia. Then came the preferring Shia, which is, يعني, were good Muslims, but they made a mistake of thinking that Ali ibn Abi Talib is better than Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and Umar and Abu Bakr. These are called preferring Shia, and they are still Muslims. Now comes after that the third sect, which is the worst one, the Saba'iyya Shia, who are saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the only one. Some of them said that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the God. نسأل الله العافية والسلام. So these Shia, most of the Shia now in our lifetime now, they are from the Saba'iyya side or Saba'iyya sect. They are saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib knows the ghayb. They say that, as Khomeini used to say, that their imams are controlling the whole universe. أعوذ بالله. What's this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't know what these people are really thinking. Some, as I told you, extremist Sufis, they also say that this universe is controlled by four qutbs. Aqtab, you know, Aqtab, these big awliyas, or whatever you call them, he said, that's Subhatallah Mujaddid, as you know, in Afghanistan a long time ago. He used to say, one of them, they said, that this universe is controlled by four Aqtab, qutb. Aqtab is actually, so these are also having a problem on the Rububiya side of Tawheed, which is really not happened even for Quraysh Mushrikeen, for this. Abu Jahl and the others did not fall into this mistake. So these people are falling into it, subhanAllah, although they are saying they are Muslims. But so Allah created us, and this is obvious, that's easy. But what is behind this? Behind this, that if He is creating us, and He is the one who is providing us with rizq, then who deserves to be worshipped? The one who does this. How can we worship these people who are worshipping now some other god, like these people who are going to this grace, or they are giving the full awareness to the parliaments, or others, giving them the chance to make rules for them which contradicts with Sharia, then these people are worshipping them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Holy Quran, when He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. And the story is known, as you know, that Adi ibn Hatim was new in Islam, and he came into Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was reciting this ayah. So Adi ibn Hatim was a Christian before. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, we did not worship them. Adi ibn Hatim thought that worshiping him is to bow to them or some other things, you know. So, because he was new in Islam. So Allah said, you did. Yes, you did. Didn't they make halal things haram for you when you accepted? He said, yes. He said, didn't they make haram things halal for you when you accepted? He said, yes. This is the worshiping. So now, this is another case of shirk. That's why we have to say in the beginning, we have to talk about the rububiyyah side of Tawheed, because we need to emphasize on it, we need to clear it out for us, that the only one who created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only one who provides rizq for us, the only one who subhanahu wa ta'ala gives everything, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if He is this way, then He is the only one deserves to be worshipped, which is the next step we are going to talk about, yes.
The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, verily, we have sent to you, O mankind, a messenger, Muhammad, to be a witness over you, as we did send a messenger, Moses, to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh disobeyed the messenger, Moses. So we seized him with a severe punishment. Al-Muzammil 15-16.
After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He created us, and He provided us rizq and everything, He also told us that He did not leave us like this. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us for nothing. He created us for some reason, very important reason, which is known to every Muslim, that is ibadah or worshipping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Yani, the meaning of this ayah, that Allah created the human beings only for worshipping. And we come to talk about the case of worshipping because lots of Muslims, they misunderstand the word of worshipping, because they think worshipping is to bow or to make sujood and ruku' and fasting and so on. This is part of worshipping. Worshipping is a wider word. Worshipping is a wider word that contains everything, including eating and sleeping and even going to bed with the wife. It's worshipping. What's the difference of this? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about this. Say, وَفِي بِضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Yani the one who goes with his wife to bed, he is having sadaqah. So sahaba was the same means, Ya Rasulullah, yani, we do our desires with wife, and he said, yes. Didn't you, if you do it wrongly, didn't you get sin? They said, yes. If you do it on the right way, then you get ajr for that. So alhamdulillah, Islam is not like other wrong religions like Christianity or Judaism or the other, which is makes worshipping is only to bow and read and this. Otherwise, we will have the same trouble which happened to the some of the Sufis or Darwish, called Darwish, who stays on in some places, they just only recite Quran and pray. This is not the life. Islam has told us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have explained to us that worshipping is a complete way of life. Yani if Allah has created us only for worshipping, can we eat? Can we sleep? We cannot do these things. If it's worshipping as we understand, just to pray and recite Holy Quran. No. That means 24 hours you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That includes what? Includes eating, sleeping, doing all these things. It's included in the case of worshipping. And listen to Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. who was radiallahu anhu an abi, because he and his father, both of them were Sahabi. He said, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me ajr for my sleeping like he is giving me ajr for my praying. Yani at night. A person who wants to pray qiyam al-layl or tahajjud, and he couldn't and he sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him even though. So if a person eats, as an example, he eats, what is his goal in here? What is his niyyah, intention? If he eats just to have his belly button is full and enjoy the taste of the food, no ajr. But if he eats, putting in mind an intention that he is eating to make his body strong enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the other worshipping like salah or jihad and so on, then he is doing ibadah or worship and so on. And use this as an example and do and put other things onto it the same way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he has made this list, still he sent us subhanahu wa ta'ala messenger to show us the way. Because he knows subhanahu wa ta'ala that the human mind cannot really understand the way or know the way independently. They need someone to direct them, so he subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our nation, and he sent the messengers before to the other nations. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to direct us to the right way, so we will be in the right way to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he sent Musa to Fir'aun to direct him to the right way, but Fir'aun rejected that and he fell into hellfire, na'udhu billah. So this is the first matter we should know, yes.
Second.
Do you have any questions on that, or shall we just continue? I think it's better to continue. I'll leave the questions later on. Yes, go ahead.
Second, Allah is not pleased with when partners are associated with Him in worship. Neither angels who are near to Him, nor messengers who were sent to mankind. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, and the mosques are for Allah alone. So invoke not anyone along with Allah, al-jinn.
Talking about polytheism, actually is a big case. And those brothers who have been with us on level 3, they remember how long it took us to talk about this case, how many classes we spent on that. Why? Because actually the case of shirk, ya akhwan, is very dangerous. The worst sin ever happened from human beings is shirk or polytheism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept to have a partner in worshipping or any other worship. So, look at these people who are really falling into polytheism. What are they doing? They are doing so many big mistakes. That's why we say polytheism is the greatest sin. One of them is that they are likening the creator to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. Also, Allah told us in the Holy Quran that those mushriks will be settled in hellfire. And Jannah will be forbidden for this polytheism. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Also, the blood, property, and money, and everything of the mushrik is halal for Muslims when there is true jihad, when there is good jihad. As Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith. Plus, the person who is showing Islam, and he thinks that he is a Muslim, and he is praying a lot, and he is doing sadaqah a lot, and all five pillars of Islam, and while he is falling into shirk, all his good deeds are in vain, fruitless, useless. Why? Because Allah told us in the Holy Quran, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very strong ayah to him and to his brothers who are the other messengers and prophets. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So every good deed done by that polytheist is voided, fruitless, useless. Why? Because Allah calls in the Holy Quran. So we have to be careful. That's why we say that shirk is the greatest sin, the most dangerous sin a person should be aware of. How many people are Muslims now who are saying they're Muslims and they pray and they go for Hajj and all these things, and they are falling into shirk also? Subhanallah, unbelievable. As I told you before, there is an Arabian country. Arabian, I'm not talking about others, maybe cannot read Arabic, cannot read Holy Quran or Hadith. Arabian country, there is one grave. There are 2 million persons, they come to this grave for Hajj. And I mean Hajj, why? Because they come to make tawaf in that grave. And they share beds, and they sacrifice. Yes, Allah al-Afiya. This is a big case, brothers. I don't think this case is happening in some faraway places. No. It's even happening in Arabian countries. See in Iraq as an example. Among these Rafida, In Karbala and in the Najaf and the other place. A'udhu billah. Unbelievable. Some of them said that going to Najaf or Karbala is better than going to Mecca. Nas'Allah al-Afiyah. And I heard one tape by one Yemeni. He was reciting dua in every show. Around on. So I thought he's talking about Hajj. When I continued the tape, I found that he's talking about making tawaf on Karbala. Subhanallah al-Azim. So, yani don't be amazed that shirk is really deep and a lot of Muslims are filling to shirk again and now in this world. All around the world. Go from all these Arabian countries or other Muslim countries, you will find Muslims are falling into shirk. So, come to this point, we have to be so strict, so strong in learning shirk, not only to avoid falling into ourselves, to save ourselves and our families, also to save Muslims also. As Allah says in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. We are responsible for ourselves and we are responsible also for our families to save them from hellfire. Also, we are responsible in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save our Muslim brothers from falling into hellfire. How can we do this? We can do this only if we learn Islam. Remember Surah Al-Asr? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who learned Islam and believed in it. So its first step is to learn Islam, to understand it. Clearly, especially the case of Tawheed, monotheism, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spent 10 years speaking about nothing except La ilaha illallah, which is the monotheism of Tawheed. But did he stop after this 10 years talking about Tawheed? No. He continued talking about Tawheed plus Salah, then Zakah, then Hajj, then Sawm. Then the case is that he is continuing sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about Tawheed all 23 years of his Risala time. So shirk is the greatest sin. We have to learn it. We have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the people who fall into shirk. Shirk actually, if we talk about it, it will take us so long time, but let me just give you a quick understanding of the shirk. Shirk is not the same level. From studying the Holy Quran and tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not every shirk is major shirk which excluded from Islam. There are some minor shirk, which is very dangerous, of course. Worse than zina, worse than stealing, worse than riba, worse than drinking alcohol or drugs, but still it does not exclude from Islam. While the major shirk, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam, will exclude the person out of Islam. Like what? So many types of the minor shirk, like having an amulet. Hijab or ta'weed, as we call it in India, ta'weed. Some people have to hear us. What is the situation of this? If you study this case of ta'weez or the case of amulet, you will see that it could be three cases. It could be major shirk. It could be minor shirk. It could be only haram. When is it going to be major shirk? If the person thinks that this amulet by itself independently will benefit him or will protect him. Whether he's hanging his neck or his children's neck or in his car or in his house, if he thinks that it is independently protecting him from everything, then he is falling into major shirk. But if he thinks that it's only a reason, if it is from Quran, it's only haram. And we'll come to this point. Okay? If he thinks it's only a reason and it's not from Quran, anything, especially this ta'weez, I have seen some of them. If you open this knitted ta'weez or you find squares and words you don't understand. What is this? It is just they play a joke with these people. They play around with these people. They sell them. They knit this onto you know, and sell it for people for money. And people have to think that it's going to protect them or it is a reason for protection. Now, if he thinks it's the only reason for protection, this thing is the minor shirk. طيب what if it's from Quran or Sunnah? Here comes the point. Most Muslims say, no problem. We can hang it from Quran and Sunnah. What's the problem with this? Quran has a barakah. Yes, true. Hadith of Muhammad has a barakah. True, yes. In fact, it's protection. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith to Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar said, I was walking with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dark night, and he said, Ya Abu Dhar, say, pull. Abu Dhar did not know what to say, so he kept silent. So again, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abu Dhar, pull. So he said, I didn't know what to say. Then he said, yes, what should I say? He said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَةِ تَحْمِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. It means, if you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, three times a day, each, in the morning and in the evening, it will protect you from everything. So Quran is protection, right? True, but the comes the case now, handling here will lead to some troubles. First of all, that this could be insulted, and usually it is insulted, especially if it's on children. A child may peek in it, may take it into the bathroom. Is it allowed to take a Quran to the bathroom? أعوذ بالله وحديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم or anything which has name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. It also will lead to the person will not start to ask Allah because he has something to protect him. So he will depend on this forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there and he's supposed to call him out. What happened to Muslims now? They are using their houses and on their cars they put ayahs and surahs and they say, "Ah, this will protect us, we don't need to recite." And sometimes they say bad things onto the place while the Quran is there. So they're insulting these ayahs. Some sheikhs said it's all right to hang them. Yes, that's in one condition. If they are hanged for learning. If you put ayat al-Kursi, just you want to memorize it and see it. And if you put hadith, the conclusion of the majlis, kafarat al-majlis, have to say what to say after you finish the majlis, then to learn, that's fine. But as I said again, this is going to be usually insulted. Insulted by what? By a TV or a dish with a dirty words, maybe kufr words, maybe dirty ladies, and Quran is there. How can you compare? If you hang them to the children, as we said, it will usually end up with insulting this holy Quran. We do not say it's minor shirk, we say it's haram for this reason, not because for other reasons. So hanging an amulet, in this case of minor shirk, it could be three levels. It could be major shirk, it could be minor shirk, it could be only haram. طيب. Part of minor shirk also is dissimulation or show off. As Muhammad told us, a person who is doing some good deed, when he see people looking at him, he makes it better. That's called show off or dissimulation, whatever you call it. That is actually will destroy the special ibadah he is in it. Unless the person makes jihad to kick it away. If the ibadah is one package, like salah, starting with tahrim, finishing with salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, it's one package, then the whole salah will be lost. If ibadah is not one package, divided or can be divided, then it will not be all voided. We gave an example, a person who left the mosque and he saw a poor man, he gave him 5 riyals as an example. Then he saw people looking at him, then he make 50 riyals. So 5 riyals inshallah for Allah is accepted, 50 riyals khali wali. Because he did not just make this for Allah, he made this for people يعني, admiring or whatever. But we have to remember again to say that major shirk is the dangerous case. Major shirk is the problem. And it is happening among Muslims. Asking blessing from graves or trees or whatever it is, this is part of major shirk. Calling others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah tells in the Holy Quran, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in the other ayah, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. He wants us to call him directly. Not to call him through such and such person. And some people say that we are humble people, we are sinful people, we cannot call Allah directly. And they give an example, they usually say, how can we go to Allah directly? If you look at these people, if you want to go to the king or the minister or the general manager of the company, you cannot go directly to the door. You have to go through the secretary. And we cannot go directly to Allah, so we have to go through some awliya or khalandar baba. Huh? Then we can talk to Allah. No, it's not true. Allah in the Holy Quran subhanahu wa ta'ala told us clearly, ادعوني استجب لكم. Call me. Yani, the meaning of this is call me directly. So we don't have any intermediate between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk to us directly with Quran, right? Did not talk to us with hadith. He talked to Jibreel subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel talked to Muhammad. So we accept this intermediate because for receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do not accept it on going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case we have to be careful, and we always remind our brothers, be careful from major shirk. Learn it. Why we learn it? Just to avoid falling into it. Because falling into shirk means the person will lose every good deed he's doing, he will be in hellfire settled, na'udhu billah. So I have to save myself, save my children, my family, and also I have to save my Muslim brothers from the case of shirk or major shirk, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Third, whosoever obeys the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and singles out Allah in worship must not show loyalty nor have any love towards those who oppose Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they were the closest of their relatives. The evidence is the saying of Allah, which means, you, O Muhammad, will not find any people who believe in Allah in the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred people. For such He has written faith in their heart and strengthened them with ruh, proofs, light and true guidance from Himself. And He will admit them to gardens, paradise, under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. Allah is pleased with them and they with Him. They are the party of Allah. Verily, it is the party of Allah that will be the successful. Al-Mujadilah.
This is what you call the case of Wala and Bara. The case of Wala and Bara, one of the major cases on Islamic creed. What does it mean? It means that we must love every Muslim. And we must hate every kafir. Period. SubhanAllah, case. Yani, does Islam call for prejudice? To be prejudiced? To be nasty to the others? No. We have to differentiate between two things in Islam. In this case, in the case of Wala al-Bara. We're talking about zihar, love and hate. We're talking also about treatment. These are two different cases. We have to differentiate between love and hate and treatment. Both, each one of them, they have different way to talk about. How can we differentiate? We easily differentiate, as Allah told us in the Holy Quran, for those people who have kafir parents, who want them to become mushrik or kafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them not to obey these kafir parents and treat them good. SubhanAllah. How is this? Because Allah told us clearly in this hadith, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, way of life, when he was, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was treating the kafirin, he was doing this. He hates them. Because they are kafirin. And he treats them sometimes good if they are about to accept Islam, or maybe they will accept Islam. Or they are defending Islam, as Abu Talib, his uncle. Did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love Abu Talib? He loved him, but what? Natural love. Not deen love or Islamic love. Islamic love is only for Muslims. And Islamic hate is only for kafirs. طيب. Some Muslims, bad Muslims, may deserve also partial wala and partial bara. Yani, they deserve love and hate at the same time. Bad Muslims who are falling into some major sins or some big sins, we should love them because they are Muslims. When they say, La ilaha illallah, they pray, but we also should hate them in the case of their mistakes or...
What about Bid'ah?
Okay, Bid'ah is the same thing, but they are falling into sins. Bid'ah is a big sin, as we say, as you remember. طيب. So, the case of Wala and Bara, we have to also put in mind that it is part of the creed of Islam. It's not up to us to love whoever we like and hate whoever we like. طيب, here comes the question. طيب, somebody will ask a question, say, طيب, isn't allowed in Islam to marry a Christian lady or Jew lady? And of course, the husband would love the lady, the wife, truly, isn't it? We have to differentiate between love for Allah's sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between the natural love. Actually, love should be divided into four levels, or four sects. Love of Allah. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a must. To love for Allah's sake, that's also a must. And ibadah worship also. To love with Allah, this is shirk, polytheism. To natural love, that's allowed as long as does not go to the extent to obey the beloved person against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person loves a lady, Christian lady, and marry her, he is allowed to marry her in Islam as long as she is clean, because I don't think they can find a clean lady now, Christian Jew. However, suppose there is a clean lady, and a Muslim marries that lady, then he is allowed in Islam to love her natural love. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love his uncle Abu Talib natural love, but he used to hate him also because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Why? Because he is a kafir. Comes the point that why I am supposed to have a hate? Hate is no good. It's not up to me. It's not up to us. Allah, the one who created us and created the kafirin, told us to hate the kafirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created us and created the Muslims, he told us to love Muslims. Can we reject? Can we refuse? We cannot. He subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the Kafirin because they were so nasty. Can't we see the bad way of Christians when they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is incapable of forgiving the people unless he crucified his son? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is a bad thing to say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why don't we hate him? We hate him for this. Don't we hate the others who give what Allah only subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves? Give it to the others? Give it to Krishna or Brahma or Siva or this other thing? Huh? Can't we hate him? Don't we hate the people who say they are Muslims, but they are hypocrites because they are giving the worshipping of Allah to the others? We are supposed to hate them because Allah wants us to hate. We are only obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and things he told us to do. So hating them, as Allah tells us in this ayah, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ. You cannot find a person who believes in Allah and the judgment day and he will love the people who hate Allah or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ, even if they are their parents or their close relatives, they will not love them. They will not love them at all because Allah told us to hate them, so we hate them. That's the case of Wala and Bara. We have to bear in mind that we must hate the Kafirin. We must love Muslims. So what if the Kafir, see, notice this point now. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. We have a person, we hate him a lot. But like this, if he becomes a Muslim, we love him directly. What happened? Can I control my emotion? You can't control your emotion because you are following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person who was a Christian or Jew or Hindu or whatever he is, he was our enemy, we hate him totally. When he became a Muslim, we love him totally. One more thing to say about the case of Wala Bara is the case of treatment. Yes, we can treat the Kafirin good in some cases. Kafirin should be divided into two sects. The fighter and the peaceful. The fighter Kafirin, there is no way to treat them good. We are not allowed to treat them good. We have to fight them if we can. We have to make jihad on them if we can. If there is a Muslim leader who can announce jihad against Kafirin, we should go with him and make jihad against Kafirin. But for those peaceful Kafirs who come to our countries or who are living among us in our work, how do I deal with them? I will hate him. I will hate him, of course, because he's a Kafir. But I will treat him good if I think he is going to accept Islam, or at least he is still listening to me when I talk about Islam. So what if he tells me, don't talk to me about Islam, I don't want to hear about this. Then I will hate him and I will treat him bad. How, from where I get this? From the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are not allowed to start the Kafirin with salam, and we should put them in the worst way of the way. When they reject Islam. And the good treatment also done by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Jew. He used to treat some of them good, but also he treated them bad as he killed 700 of them in one day. Don't lose the case, brothers. Don't lose the track. We are talking about both. Good treatment, if these people are still listening to us when we talk about Islam, they are not hurting Muslims, they are not killing Muslims. Yani some people say, Tayyip, what about this Hindu who is killing Muslims in India, or this Christian who is killing Muslims in such and such places? We should hate them, and we should treat them bad. But we cannot really kill them just for the hell of it. We have to be careful. That's why some Muslims went a little bit extra and they started to kill every one they can find. That's actually incorrect. Because those people, when they come to Muslim countries under the visa is a contract. It's some kind of protection given to this person.
What about the visa given by an apostate person?
Sorry?
Visa given by an apostate.
By who?
Apostate.
What's that?
Apostate, the one who goes out of Islam.
Murtad. Still, who is going to make the had of killing the Kafir or Murtad?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the case then. If we have someone who, like Salman Rushdie, take as an example, or Sajid Taslim al-Nasreen from Bangladesh, okay, or whatever. This is Murtad. This person who has...
Hold on.
This person is... was supposed to be a Muslim, he was born in a family Muslim and his name is a Muslim, then he became a Murtad. Now, can we kill him if he comes to our country? No. Why? Because in this case, to make hudud or يعني to kill a kafir, a murtad, this is upon the Muslim leader, not upon everybody. Otherwise, everybody will come and kill and say, this guy is murtad. And this guy has done this. And this is wrong, this is incorrect. This will make a lot of troubles among Muslims and problems and so on. This should be done by the leader of Muslims. And if he does not do this, this is trouble, not mine. I can go and advise him, maybe, but I cannot go and kill the guy just like this. That's the case of Al-Wala Al-Bara'ah. It's very important, brothers, to think of it and clear it out, because you guys maybe face this more than I do. When you go back to India, or maybe in your work now, you will face a lot of people who are kafirs, totally kafirs. Now how do I deal with these people? That's the case. We take Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Holy Quran, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam His Sunnah, He did not leave anything for us to have our own minds in this case. It is clear to us in Quran and Sunnah how to deal with these people.
So if the leader gives a muharib a visa, is that valid?
Yes. Even if he is muharib. As you know, the kafirin, he could be peaceful, he could be a fighter. A fighter, if he is given a visa, means like the messenger.
Like he continues fighting.
Even though. If they give them a visa, it's on their heads. We are not going to be responsible for it. But even if we believe that they don't deserve to be, they deserve to be killed, we cannot do it, because if we kill him, we will be killed also. This is not the way to show Islam or to make Islam or emphasize Islam in this case. We have to be careful, you know. We cannot do it by personal things. Unless there is a Muslim leader on jihad who is driving jihad, like in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, jihad is fantastic. Yes, that's the way. To kill kafirin, to kill Americans, to kill the Europeans, to kill all the kafirin who is coming to Afghanistan, to kill Muslims. In Iraq, it's the same.
The leaders bring the American name
on the okay, this, you have...
Muhammad Qadha gives...
And what level you are now in Rabwa? Tayyip, did you study the contradictions of the Islamic Caliphate?
Yeah, yeah.
Number 8, what is it?
Yeah.
What about number 8?
I'm with the disbelievers.
Okay, then you got it.
But some people don't apply this, that's what I'm...
Well, if they don't apply this, you're not going to be responsible for it.
Okay.
They are responsible, okay?
Ah, that's it. One way
okay, if a Muslim comes to kill you, you can kill him. If a Muslim, not a kafir, a Muslim. But what about a kafir? Oh yes. That's defending yourself, this is another case. Defending is another case. You know, if not only a kafir, even if a Muslim. Even if a Muslim comes to kill you, you can kill him. And you have no sin, inshallah. Because you are defending yourself. That happened even in the time of Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he was defending himself with his sons. He gave them weapons to defend, because there was some ruler who wanted to take their land. So he gave the weapons to his sons and say, come, we'll fight him.
So in this case, the visa is
not a restriction. No, case of defensive. If your brother comes to kill you, you can kill him. You're the same parents. It's a case of defensive now. It's a different case.
When you talk about treating kafirs in a bad way, that does not mean you are unjust with them.
No. It's the case that we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do this. Yani Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unjust, astaghfirullah. He told us to be harsh with him. Don't say assalamu alaykum, don't say even hi. If he says hi to you or assalamu alaykum, you can answer him by wa alaykum. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do with Jew. If he, yani become nice with you, fine, you can answer him easily, but you have to call him for Islam, still. Yeah, don't let the case become a friendship. No, there's no friendship between a Muslim and a kafir. We have to put always in our minds that we are Muslims in the first place. And we are leaders, we are callers, or we are trying to call people to Islam. That's our job. This is the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his brothers on messengerhood. And we are supposed to do the same thing. We are required to call for Islam. So if I have a kafir in my work, I should always insist to talk to him about Islam. When he tells me don't talk about Islam, then tell him don't talk to me at all. If he tells me don't talk to me about Islam, then tell him don't talk to me at all. Go away. خلاص. You are my enemy. Let him get angry, tell him. Of course, but you put this in the case that you are not going to be in trouble also on your work, yes.
Then what about telling good morning or good evening, good afternoon, like that?
Avoid to say that, avoid to start by yourself. Let him start by himself. Don't stop him. We're talking about the kafir who is bad about Islam. But
we are
on
the telephone.
Okay. Again, we have to put this in mind. Is this guy peaceful kafir? One case. Is he close to Islam, or maybe he is listening to you or to Islam, or he at least he does not reject talking about Islam? Then you can make some Because Muhammad himself went to the Jew at his house to visit him when his son was sick, and they ended up with the boy accepted Islam. See, the father, subhanAllah, this story is really an important story to remember. The father himself, the son was looking at his father, and when Muhammad told him, say la ilaha illallah, he was talking to the child the kid who was serving Muhammad sometimes. And the child is leaving the life. So when Muhammad told him, say la ilaha illallah, he looked at his father. The father said, obey Abu al-Qasim, obey Muhammad. SubhanAllah, why don't you obey him? Yani the father, why is it? SubhanAllah, Iblis is there. But the boy said, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and he died. So Muhammad left the house happily, saying, Alhamdulillah, he was saved from hellfire because of me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. See this point. So if there is any small percentage that this person will accept Islam one way or another, at least he will not be an enemy for Islam, then I should continue with him, talking to him about him. One day, he may accept Islam. I mean, if he accepts Islam, as we said last week, how much good deeds you are going to get. One person accepts Islam means you are going to do double your good deeds. If you pray 5 times a day, you will be praying 10 times a day. If you fast one Ramadan in a year, you will fast 2 Ramadans in a year because another people are working for you. SubhanAllah. What about if 10 people accepted Islam because of you, or because of people who accepted Islam because of you? Then multiply by 10 and so on. And so on.
Background.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a fighting kafir or a peaceful kafir. But whenever we start, the person also does not know that the person is calling
him
a Muslim or not.
Well, put in mind that I think the best thing is always to put in mind that the bitter idea. Say, okay, maybe the guy inshallah will accept Islam. Let's be nice with him. Unless he tells you one day, don't talk to me about Islam, or you know that this guy is fighting Islam and hating Islam. But if you don't know, then keep him as he is, inshallah, good. And continue with him, good morning. This thing, you just try to keep him closer to Islam. Hopefully, inshallah, this is the correct way. I think this is the finalize of the case of Wala and Bara, and we close for tonight because we don't want to keep you so long. As brother Sheikh Imtiaz Zallah Khair, he gave us 20 minutes, 20 minutes for questions. If you have any questions, then otherwise we'll close.
The person start with the salah. Sorry, the person start with good morning.
Yeah.
What we have to do?
If he starts, you no problem. But don't start him. Yani the hadith Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told us not to start them.
So we can reply good morning.
Yes. Reply good morning, smile on their faces if they are accepting our hadith, they will think they will accept Islam. And treat them nicely if they think that they accept Islam. But when it comes to the point that he is rejecting Islam and he says, don't talk to me about Islam, then don't smile on his face. Yeah, and try to avoid him as much as you can, just to make him feel that you hate him for Allah, not for anything else. Again, to say that it depends on the guy. Do you know the guy? If you know the guy that he's the enemy of Islam and he hates Islam and he's hurting Muslims, then don't say
that. No, he's a good guy.
Okay, a good guy, then stop him. No, stop him because you in the intention to call him to Islam. And how did Muhammad go to the house of the Jew or the other people? He went there by himself. Yani, it's more than salam. It's not good morning or salamu alaykum. This is not as much as going to his house for a visit. This is, of course, going to visit is a bigger case. But as long as you have the intention that you are going to call him to Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help him to come to Islam. Yes.
Is it like the Hudud requires like the Sultan to implement it? So I read yesterday there's one instance where it doesn't really need a Sultan when someone curses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Taymiyyah, he said it because there's a Jewish woman that cursed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the blind man that killed him, and Muhammad, it went back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was okay with it.
Okay, you can give a better example. When Umar radiallahu anhu, he killed the hypocrite. Right?
Yeah.
That's even a better example. But Umar in that case, he was the, minister with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wazir Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Still, if you have to put also the good and bad things which could happen to the person. Now, if we allow the people to kill the hypocrite or the one who is
specifically
cursing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying bad things about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we do this, the person who is killing him is going to be killed also. Nowadays, now you can see it clearly. You cannot kill a person because you don't want to be killed. You're not going to be. I mean, do you think that the leaders in this time, among the Arabian countries or Islamic countries, they will say, "Oh, this is yes, this is Ibn Taymiyyah said this." They don't care about Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi. They will direct, in fact, they may kill you and your family just because of one person, if he is white.
Yes, in today's world, what is the best form of jihad?
Jihad actually, if you say the word jihad in Quran and Sunnah, whatever the word jihad comes in there, it's meant actually for fighting.
Right.
But also there is other jihad, that's jihad al-nafs, yourself jihad. Jihad of munafiqeen. Ya ayyuha al-Nabi yujahid al-kuffara wal-munafiqeen waghlub alayhim. Jihad al-munafiqeen or hypocrites, you don't make jihad with them to fight. Jihad with speaking, jihad with talking, jihad with so in nowadays, if you can go to the jihad areas where there's kafirin clear and mu'mineen clear, go ahead, make jihad. That's fantastic, and this is the sanam of Islam or the toughest point of Islam, as Muhammad told us in his hadith. Okay, and he gave us an example of the camel. What's the highest point of the camel? It's hump. So in this case, jihad is the hump of Islam. But don't fall into the case that making jihad among Muslims by saying that these are murtadeen or they're covering or hiding or helping the kafirin. This is, you cannot really make sure about this point. But if there is clear jihad, like in Afghanistan, Taliban or Muslims there are fighting kafirin, the clear Christians and Jews and so on. Also in Iraq, they're fighting the Americans and the others. Yes, if you can make jihad there, go ahead. But in Muslim countries, whether in Pakistan or Arabian countries, or this is incorrect way. No.
Yeah, in those areas, there'll be people who claim to be Muslim who'll be joining the Americans and stuff like that. Are you saying we can't? They're not murtadeen.
I'm not saying they are not murtadeen. No, I'm not saying they are murtadeen among the ayah we know that they are helping the kafirin. But who is going to be making the hudud on them? Or to
no,
kill them.
I mean, like in the actual like in Iraq, the Iraqi army are joining forces with the American army to fight the Mujahideen. Now, what do the Mujahideen do?
Okay, Mujahideen, they know. Mm-hmm. They know better.
Yeah.
When you are with the Mujahideen in Iraq, go ahead, kill them. But don't kill them in here, or kill them in Pakistan. Or okay, well, you have to follow what Allah has said, what Muhammad has said. Yani, these scholars or sheikhs, they are human beings, they make mistakes. So if a sheikh comes to you and says, this is wrong, this is halal, this is haram, ask him for evidence, dalil. If he is on the evidence and he is correct, alhamdulillah. If he is not, say jazakallah khair and leave. Take Quran and Sunnah. That's, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us this scale, Quran and Sunnah. So we scale everything on that. We never say that this sheikh is bad because he's saying this. We say he's a sheikh and he's a scholar and he has done this and this, but his mistake, we don't accept it. We don't get busy with this and try to make these sheikhs kafirin or their murtadeen and so on.
And what about this
kutub
you have said, the four
kutubs
are controlling
the universe?
What is the basis for that?
Aqtab, these are the extremist Sufis, they say that there are some awliya, you know wali, who are top of everybody, top of every wali, they are controlling the world.
But on what basis, like
Shaitan wahi. Shaitan Quran. I told you what you need. Okay, sorry.
Why these people, those who commit shirk, and for instance you go to India, Pakistan, etc., without any personal any comment on, for example, Nawaz Sharif, he went back to Pakistan. The first thing what he did, he went to one grave to pay his tribute. That's the first thing what he did after going to Pakistan back from what he did, the first thing, he paid a visit to a grave. And it is,
what did he do exactly in the grave?
Just dua, but
visiting the graves. Visiting the graves is in three levels. Visiting the graves, three levels. It could be sunnah.
sorry for the interruption. Grades are different and a particular grade is different.
Yes.
He's going spiritual. To a particular grade because
he's spiritual. Spiritual. Yes. Okay.
Eminent person.
Let me come to the point.
In Pakistan, people they just
trounce. Ajmer, Shah,
even Musharraf, even Musharraf, he is so predominant. Even Musharraf going to India. What is his desire? Even Benazir is going to India. What is his desire? That I visit Ajmer. And people in thousands and thousands. So how we are not able to just control these things?
Who will control? Who will control? Who will control?
There is no way.
Who will control?
Spreading more.
Okay, if people are having ignorance in some sides of Tawheed, that's a big problem. That's what we're talking about now.
And these Hunud also, they are making fools of us. What they do, you know, they don't go to mosque, they don't go to Qatar. They go to these graves at the time of election. How they are doing? They go to these graves, put some nice clothes on the grave, and stand very respectfully, paying tribute to those people. And with that, they are getting fooled. And there is no way to cut down these things.
Let me explain the case of graves just.
But we are not able to cut it down.
Okay. Let me explain the case of graves now. Because not every going to the grave is shirk or polytheism. Going to the grave is three levels.
Graves.
Yes. Could be major shirk. If the person who goes to the grave to ask the grave. It could be only a novelty. Novelty or innovation. If he comes to the grave to ask Allah in this place, think this is a better place to make dua. This is novelty, it's not allowed in Islam, it's big haram, but it is not shirk. Go to the grave, the way that Muhammad ﷺ told us to go to the grave, that is sunnah. So not every go to the grave is the shirk, major shirk. Now, without naming Nawaz Sharif or others, those people who go to the grave must be under the one of these three cases. If they are going for asking the grave, like Ajmer or Shah Wali, or Sayyid Madani and so on, those people who are going to this grace, to ask these grace, thinking that they have some kind of superpower, then they are falling into major shirk. And as they are going there just, thinking that they will make, no, not tabarruk. They go there because they think this place is with more khushu'. So, better place to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is bid'ah or novelty, which is totally haram, it's not allowed in Islam, but he's still as a Muslim. That's what you call tawassul, or using of a means. That's not allowed. That's shirk.
The tabarruk comes in which category? First category?
Yes, major shirk. If he thinks that he is taking barakah from the grave,
No,
this is major shirk.
That is tabarruk.
You can watch the TV, how they are standing there near the
grave. Alhamdulillah, I never seen them on TV. I don't think I want to see. Because this this makes Allah angry, I hate it.
So eminent places only
there. Allah has this. That's not only, unfortunately, not in India only. That's in Afghanistan, in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, all these countries. Including even here. It was here 250 years ago. We have worse than that.
To cut it down, make it,
Can
you repeat the third one?
What's that?
Part of the history you said the third one?
Okay, we said major shirk, novelty, and sunnah.
Yeah. In terms of sunnah, what exactly, like for example...
Exactly as Muhammad told us to do. We go to the graveyard, say, As-salamu alaykum dar qawm al-mu'minin, wa inna inshallah bikum lahiqun. Yeah, you make dua for them. See? Go to the grave to make dua to him.
For him.
No, not for him. Now, not this case. No, so if he makes dua to him directly, to make, ask him. If he ask him, this is major shirk. If he ask Allah by him, this is shirk also. If he ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place, this is novelty that allows. If he ask Allah for them,
yeah.
This is sunnah.
Like for example, I go to my mother's grave to pray for my mother's after.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's sunnah. In fact, that's part of good deeds, yes.
In terms of women going to Masjid al-Nabawi, what is like an intention is to go and pray in Namaz in Masjid al-Nabawi. Okay?
Masjid al-Salah,
So, for example, they are not there, they are just going into the area where they have got the general, what do you call the white carpeted area, but Riyadh al-Jannah. But women are not allowed to go to graveyard. How come that the women are allowed to go up to that level in Masjid al-Nabawi?
Okay.
What is their intention, or what could be this point of that?
The problem is the case of Masjid al-Nabawi, or the case of grave of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bukhari al-Mani. You have to remember also that the situation of that grave was not in the mosque. The question he was dropped is, where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried when he died? Aisha's house or room outside of it, outside of the mosque. Yani Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave was totally outside of the mosque. There is hadith, Abu Bakr said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that every prophet died should be buried in the place where he died. طيب. Now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in Aisha's room, he was buried in that room. But that room was outside of the mosque. What happened is that after about 77 years almost of death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik, one of the Amawi Khalifa, he wanted to enlarge the mosque. He made a mistake by including the room of Aisha and the other rooms, but he destroyed the other rooms and left the room of Aisha with the three graves to get into the mosque. Now this is the case, that the place of the room is incorrectly now, and should not be there. So if people want to say, okay, we will bury our people into the mosque because see Muhammad's grave in the mosque, we tell him, no, you are mistaken. Muhammad was not buried in the mosque, he was buried in his room or Aisha's room, outside of the mosque. But it was included later on. So they cannot use this as a proof or, okay? Now, the case of women, when they come, they are not allowed, of course, to do the grave. So they just go and pray in the mosque, and every traveling to the, unfortunately in Urdu, I think they say ziyarah means directly to visit the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, a Muslim should not travel to visit the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He should travel to visit the three mosques. The mosque of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Masjid Haram, or the Masjid al-Quds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it back to Muslimin with jihad. Tayyib. So we travel to there, even from Riyadh, or even from Jeddah. We travel only to the masjid, not to the grave. Okay, when we come to the masjid, we can go and say, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah, Assalamu alaikum ya Abu Bakr, Assalamu alaikum ya Uthman, Ali ibn Umar. That's fine, to make salam to them. But not to do any of the girls. Start to cry and touch the... This is not allowed. No, not allowed.
Some people say, like, convey my Islam to them.
No. Al-Hasan, or Ali ibn Hussein ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, son of Hussein. So a person coming to the to grave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say salah and salam on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm coming to say salah. He said, don't do that. Do it wherever you are. You and the person in Andalus, the Spain, are the same. So salam, if you make salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salat on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in everywhere in this world, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his soul back and he answer you. In this case,
you're talking about like avoiding major shirk, and that's something we should all do. But one type of major shirk that no one really covers is like democracy. No one ever really talked about it.
As we said in the parliament cases, parliament or whatever you call it, these are trying to take the judgment from Sharia to what people want. Democracy. What does it mean? To rule the nation by the nation. That's the meaning of it. Yani the nation itself, it makes rules for itself. So they made some people, they elect some people to be in this parliament, okay? These people of parliament will sit down, discuss cases. If majority wants something, it is halal. If majority do not want something, it is haram. That is called shirk. That's called shirk. And it's a major shirk also. And people who accept that and obey it, they are also mushrikeen, polytheists. As Allah says in the Holy Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. As Adi ibn Hatim, when he talked to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explained to him how they became mushrikeen or worshipping them by letting them make rules for them against the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam. So when we accept this to happen in our countries, if we accept it, then we are falling into shirk. Yani the shirk of grace. Maybe now people are...
This is the biggest...
Yeah, now, people now saying this case of worshipping the graves is... They don't accept it because people are becoming educated and so on. But they are falling into another shirk, na'udhu billah, which is the shirk of parliament or democracy and so on.
That's the biggest at the moment in the whole Muslim world.
Did you make statistics? Yes.
But people call to it as well. They don't just... They actually...
I know.
Some of our Muslim media mafia, the channels, the newspapers, they are having this problem of fortune getting a horoscope.
How
is it? Although we are in Muslim countries, it's sad that such a thing is happening. How do we go about it and...
Okay, there are so many hadiths in the case of... Are we over the time? Where is our... He's the leader of the time. Okay? Just quickly to say that the case of magic or divination, brothers have been with us on level 3, or level 4, sorry. There are 4 levels, or make it 3, to make it easy. 3 levels of the case of magic or watching magic and divinations or fortune tellers. If the person only watching without asking or believing, without watching and believing, okay, then it is haram. It's not allowed in Islam. It's totally haram, and he is going to be punished unless he makes tawbah. If he watch and ask without believing, ask without believing, then his salah for 40 days will not be accepted. As Abul Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he watch, ask, and believe, then he is kafir, totally outside Islam. So put these 3 levels in his mind. When you see Muslims doing this, especially I have seen somebody who told me that there are a lot of channels on these fortune tellers and so on, they receive calls from everywhere in the world, including Saudi Arabia, saying, tell me what will happen to me tomorrow. Subhanallah al-Azim. Don't we believe that the only one who knows ghaib is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ غَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So how we break this ayah and say, no, there's as Shia or Rafida say that Ali ibn Abi Talib, there is no ghaib.
I'm
going to
program some.
Regarding the country like India, how about this voting?
But what?
Muslims should vote or not?
Voting. They should not vote.
Suppose there are 2 leaders, one is like
whichever of Muslims. Some sheikhs, that happens even in the United States, some Muslims in the United States ask some of our sheikhs in here and say, can we vote for one of the leaders? One of our sheikhs said yes, do. For one of them which is will make less problems to Muslims. In fact, they voted for Bush and he made worse for them. So, alhamdulillah, we know our Islam, we hate them, we do not accept them. We do not go for voting. We are not allowed to do this because we know if this guy goes to the parliament or whatever it is, he will start to practice the kufr. Yeah, so...
Even if a Muslim is contesting, we should not.
A Muslim, can this Muslim change the and use Sharia as a... Can he? Or is he like the Indian president?
If he's Indian, but there are some Muslim ministers who are helping the other Muslims and their causes. Yani Abu Azmi?
Abu Azmi. Yani some people say that they can eliminate the problems for Muslims and they can help Muslims. Some sheikh say, okay, go on and listen.
Because unless the area, like, when you have more Muslim population, you can elect some good leaders who can some better for Muslims.
But it depends. They can make Sharia on that area at least. That's why I told the brothers when they talk about the judgment.
See, I'll give you one example. For example, in India, like the alcohol they serve by the license. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the Muslim is allowed to take the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the Sharia law. Like, Muslim feels that, okay, alcohol is haram for them. But as for the Indian law, like for the people, it is halal.
Okay, this elected person will accept this law?
No, if he is a Muslim, like he will not, definitely he will not drink alcohol.
He will not drink, but is he accepting the law?
He's not.
Huh? Yeah. He's going to swear on that law. So he's swearing in a kufr law. Okay, he's swearing to respect the law, which part of it is alcohol is haram, halal, right? So he's swearing on a kufr law. How is this?
What about Muslims? You can also not do anything.
No, they can. They can. Muslims, they can, if they really do it the correct way. But when I talk to so many brothers, among class 3 and 4 especially on Rabbah, they always tell me that Muslims actually, they don't want the Islamic courts. In fact, as an example, it's in Islam, a person is not allowed to go to civilian court to ask for judgment, unless he cannot have any court, other court, and he cannot find a Muslim court or legislation, Islamic legislation court, then he can go to take his rights. Otherwise, subhanAllah, can't you find in every town one person who knows Sharia, he can make judgment among Muslims? Of course he can. Why can't you have one? Say nobody wants him. Nobody wants him because they find the civilian law sometimes in their side. Then this is the same as the hypocrite who came to Abu Bakr and Abu Bakr gave him the judgment. Then he said, no, we'll go to Umar. Because he wants some...
He went to
Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf, the Jew. He went to the Jew to ask him for judgment. Now he doesn't want the Islamic judgment because he knows it will be in the side of the Jew. So he went to the Ka'b al-Ashraf to make judgment for him. Kaaba al Ashraf, of course, a kafir. Now this guy is falling into kufr, na'udhu billah. So it's not so easy. I know when you want to talk about Muslims in India, we have, and in everyone, like Philippines, it's the same way. Philippines is the same way. The governors are kafirs, so the country is a kafir, not the Muslims, of course. We're talking about the country. Now Muslims should try their best to have their own law, their own judgment, their own courts, their own leaders, okay, to be a Muslim community. In the United States, or in the Western countries at least, sometimes before, they used to have their own community and they have their own laws. Why can't they?
In India we have the other legal system.
Why Muslims didn't go to the Supreme Court?
They go.
Why? What?
Criminal law is not there.
You're talking about personal law?
Yes.
This is not this is part of it. I'm talking about complete Sharia.
They are not allowing you, right?
You should ask. Yani if you force the government in India, if this town, the majority are Muslims.
So it's still going on.
Huh?
It's still going on. The Muslims are asking.
They should say we want our own law. In this town, we are majority, we want our own law. At least for Muslims.
Then they will Pakistan, you know,
non-Muslim,
this is like a nation within a nation. This is what they
said,
and they have killed everybody there.
We have no other choice to do this.
So in India also they will do
that. We are not allowed to elect a Muslim who will swear for a kafir law.
But there is no alternative. That's
no, there is. The same what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did in Mecca. Did he swear for leaders of Mecca? He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept on making da'wah, explained to the kafirin, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. They are kafirs, clearly. He didn't make diplomacy and etiquette and protocol. These things, he did not do something. He clearly said it to the kafir. Yani, subhanAllah, how the kafir will know that he is a kafir? Unless we tell him. We should be proud of our Islam. We should come to the kafir and say, you are a kafir. And if you stay like this, you and you die like this, you will be in hellfire. Who told you this? The creator of you told me this. See, Ahmed Idak, rahmatullah, when he said, Shaykh, when he said, come to Islam. He was so strong, he was proud of what he was saying, come to Islam. You were troubled, he was in New York that day, and he said, your trouble of AIDS, the troubles of drugs and this, just because you are far away from Allah, come to Islam, you will be saved. He is proud of, there are some people they want to go to Islam, they're big. Please, come, what do you mean please? If you want to make, as a businessman, if you want to make to be a salesman, do you go to the people like, please, buy this glass for me? I know it's no good, but Ashraf, please. He will buy it from you? No way. But he said, no, listen, this, you will not find better than this. I bet you. This is the best. And you are convincing. You are calling for Islam. You should be proud for Islam. Don't you know that this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who made this deen is the one who created everybody. So it's the best in this world now is Islam. Inna deena inda Allah Islam. Someone come to the Kaaba and say, listen, you are in trouble. If you live like this, you live bad, you will die into hellfire. Come to Islam. I'll show you how to live fantastically. Then be proud of your Islam. Then people will accept. Otherwise we are bad salesmen. We are so bad salesmen. We cannot sell our Islam. I think this is too much for you, brothers. I'm free Abdul Fajr prayer, but I know it's not good for you.
Jazakum Allah khair, ya akhwan.